We'd like to welcome everybody here. Hope you had a great SOS. Hope everybody survived it well. We have started and implemented a prayer chain here in this congregation, this Christian community. For anybody who would like to be part of it, we would love to have you. Susie Bryant, up here on the front, would take your name, address, phone number, email, vital statistics, all of that. If you have a prayer need or know of a prayer need, we would love to pray for you. There is nothing like the power of prayer. Trust me. If you would like to become a part of that, we would love to have you. And if there's a prayer need, then we would just go down the prayer chain and call you and ask you to pray. You would be asked to call somebody else and ask them to pray. And that's how we can take care of each other in this community. Something else that this church offers is a free ministry. Is we do CDs and tapes of all of our services. There are people who send them to people that they're concerned about their salvation. There's people that send them to people who are shut-ins that can't get to church. It's a free ministry right back here. My husband, Larry Jones, who does all the taping and all that type of thing, has it set up back here. So after the service, please come up and help yourself. If you know somebody that can use the word of the Lord in their life, then please take one of these and send it to them. It's truly a blessing. Are there any other announcements?
No.
Now we're going to let Beav come up.
That's right. Thank you. Thanks, Shirley. All right. Good morning. Good morning. Thank you. Give the musicians a big hand. Paul sings and Will plays. And told Melvin, I said, that's half of our quartet. We're going to have the other half. Hey, we're going to do that. How many here for the first time? I'm out of town or whatever. A couple of three. That's good. Thank you for coming. A few. Got a young lady over here from Raleigh. He's 85. Bless her heart. Yeah. We're glad she's here. Yeah. Somebody said last week they thought they were going to be 85 before they got out of here. I didn't appreciate that. I didn't like that. Didn't need that at all. All right. I assume you know Kay Burridge, Jerry's wife who plays here. Disc jockey has cancer. Please pray for her and her family, of course. Other people here have said that they have some serious diseases. If you'll be able to pray for them in situations, God knows their name if you don't. And we had one was going, thought they had cancer, and they didn't tell them. And they went and checked, and they didn't. And they said, we didn't want to tell you, but we thought you had cancer, and you don't now. And I know why. It's because he's got a praying wife that I've known for 50 years. She claims he's 25. When you see H. Lee Brown lets us use this place free of charge. Has nothing to do with what you put in the offering, but it's free of charge. Tell him thank you when you see him. Oftentimes people do things and you don't thank them. Every time you see him, thank you. Say, thank you, H. Lee, for helping us over there. He's going to start having a brunch over there after church, and it won't cost, he thinks it's going to cost $5. Pitch till you win, eat till you drop. I mean, and that'll be nice in his new place. That'll be good. Mm-hmm. All right. Bible study, 7 o'clock at the Sleep Inn on Highway 17 across from Eastport Golf Course. It's lit up on the left. You can't miss it. They have a nighttime putt-putt in par 3. So come at 7 o'clock if you can. We have a good time. Wonderful things happen. And secret committees are formed to stop that mess. All right. This morning, little Frankie was with us. Little Frankie and Bradley the other week. Little Bradley, who doesn't have any arms and legs, but he'll outrun you on the carpet. And Frankie didn't have to have his cystic fibrosis operation. He didn't have to have that big operation, and he thanked us for that, for praying for him. But the little fellow was looking on the internet. He's highly intelligent, 11, 12 years old, and smart as a whip. And he got on the internet looking for a cure for cystic fibrosis. And he was a little sad because he said, I couldn't find one. And so Ann told me about it. And so I sat down and made him a plaque that looks like this. If you can have a copy of this, we put some out. Some of you already got one. And I've already sent him his. And it simply says the answer. And there's a few Bible verses on there. That's the complete answer to any problem anyone has, whether it's a large problem or a small, whether it's financial difficulties, health problems, family problems, I don't care what it is, the war in Israel. These five Bible verses, when you understand them, will answer all of those. So if you'd like one of those to take and put on your refrigerator, wherever you put it, that's fine. I'm going to give this to someone this morning here, so they'll have that, and you'll know what Frankie got. So we will pray, and then we shall proceed to expound this scripture. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can come in the name of Jesus to the throne of grace opened to us by you on Calvary, that at any time we could simply get in touch with the Creator of the universe, the Lord God Almighty. And you said we could even call you Daddy. We thank you for everything you've done, all the good things you've given us. We thank you for those in our presence that were told by the doctors they'd die, and you said, I'll decide that, and they haven't. We thank you that Frankie didn't have to have that serious operation that you saw fit to let him bypass that. We asked you to continue to see him in good health. I said you be with little Bradley, help him learn how to walk better on the legs that he was so kindly provided by Fat Harold and the Shriners and these folks here. And thank you for all those who come on a weekly basis here. They find time to make their way here to praise your name, to worship you, and we make sure all the honor, praise, and glory goes to you, for we've done nothing. Without you, we were empty. Without you, we are the walking dead. We thank you so much for the gospel that you've given us and the book you've given us that we can read and through the power of the Holy Spirit can understand and expound. I thank you for trusting me with it. I never have gotten over that. As ever, I would ask that you remove me from this place this morning, that you be heard. That anything I say that should be forgotten certainly will be, and anything that should be remembered, please have it be, for there possibly is one here who knows you not as Savior, Lord, Master, and King. And the time is passing, and the years are going by quickly. And though we come down and reminisce and have good memories of our teenage years, when birthday time runs around, we are quickly reminded those years were long, long ago. Thank you for your goodness. Be with us this day and save the man who's nearest hell. In Christ Jesus' name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Did Bob McGinnis make it this morning? Did Bobby in the back? Yeah. Bob's 66 today. Stand up. Bobby, let him have a look at you there. All right. Bob has been, we've been friends since we were kids, and nobody in Greenville County would have waged money that either of us would make it to this age. We could have, and to be at the same spot would have raised the odds considerably. Fortunately, Dick James is here. He was one of our gang who had brains, so he's one of the better lawyers in the state. We are so glad that we know him. So if you turn to Matthew 28:18, that is the first Bible verse on your answer sheet. And Matthew 28:18 says, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And you can read that and easily go by it and not discern what it's really saying. But what it is, it's the Lord Jesus Christ is claiming and making it well known that he is deity here. The all is the inclusive all, and that means everything there is, was, and ever shall be. His power is unlimited. He is omnipotent. Omnipotency is all power. That is an attribute of God alone. And only one can have it. Without being omnipotent, you don't get to be God. And he is. He had the creative power in the creation story that you read in Genesis. And the scientists try to discern it, as do all of us. And truth be known, we don't know what happened. Other than what he tells us, and he said, "I formed it out of nothing." He didn't take clay and make it. He didn't take existing electrons and put them together. He formed the entire universe by speaking it, the word of his mouth. That's a power you and I can't understand and can't comprehend. We see the beautiful ocean before us and have seen it raging power come in the form of storms that will turn buildings over and tsunamis which rise up to 60 and 80 feet out and invade the land and are inescapable in their destruction. And we think that's power, and it's minuscule compared to his. Scientists look at the sun, and the closer they can look, the more power they see, and now they say some of the explosions there on a daily basis. The flames reach 100 or 200 miles out into the sky. Power that you and I can't even imagine. Yet he has more power than that. The sun is just one sun. The moon we see is just one moon, and the earth we live on is just one planet. And now we've found through the Hubble and the other telescopes that there are billions upon billions that he created that all stay in their place, that all remain in their orbit, and you can set your atomic clock by the movement of the stars. They're so accurate. All this power is claimed to have by a carpenter, which, as Josh McDowell says, makes him either Lord, liar, or lunatic. For only an insane man would stand in the Judean hillside and claim he had the power of Almighty God if he didn't have it. Only a crazy man would claim to have the power to raise the dead, because he's going to be called to do it. And if he can't, he looks foolish. He has the controlling power of everything that moves. It was Martin Luther, I believe, who was sitting by the fireside with a friend one night, and a mouse ran across the floor. And he said, "My brother, that mouse running across the floor ought to be proof enough for everybody to fall on their knees and worship an almighty God. By him all things consist," the scriptures say. The scientists look into the electron microscopes and find out that a piece of wood or metal or cement or whatever, when they break it down to atomic particles, that the pluses and the minuses are spinning around each other, and I don't understand it, but they're supposed to blow apart according to the laws of physics. There's no way they can hold together according to the laws of physics, but everything holds together. And they beat their heads against the wall saying, "How is this possible?" And you turn in the book and it just says in one sentence, "By him all things consist." If he takes his hands and his control off of everything you see, It'll blow to smithereens. He has the power of judgment, not of just you. The power of our local judges is awesome. The federal judges in the Supreme Court is awesome power that these men have. The power of life and death. But the judgmental power of the Lord Jesus Christ is awesome. The book says that all judgment has been put into his hands. The power of judging individuals, the power of judging nations, the power of judging the entire world. To judge it, you have to know about it. Therefore, he's omniscient too. Not only all power, but all knowledge. He has the saving power that can take a man with nowhere to go, that has a future worse than that of a dog, because a dog will just die and that's the end of it. When a man dies, he'll go to heaven or go to hell. He'll spend eternity with or without God. He's in worse shape than the dog. Dog lives his 40 years and dies and that's it, and you live yours and die and there's more. The Lord Jesus Christ said, I have saving power. The saving power to forgive you of your sins. It needs a price to be paid. It was exacted by my Father, and I was the only one who could pay it. And I shed my blood to do that. And I have forgiving power, which equals saving power. And it is yours for the asking. But I will not force it on you. He has healing power that we see. We pray for the sick, and I have trouble with healers. I don't have trouble with healing. All healing comes from God. If you had a cold and got over it, thank him. If you had the flu and a temperature and got over that, go ahead and thank him. If you cut yourself shaving and was bleeding and it stopped, you better thank him. You know all of it can come out. All healing comes from God, and now and then we'll find one who comes up with cancer or a debilitating disease that's been called terminal, and every now and then one will come by and say, the doctor said I was supposed to die by now, but here I am. And we say, thank you, Jesus. Why didn't he heal them all? He's got the power. He may want them for fellowship. If you'd read the book carefully, that's why he invented you in the first place. Don't get mad because God picks a few flowers early. After all, they're his. So we serve a God who has all power, and you read it there and wonder if he has the power to handle your problem, whatever it is. Read it. All power is given unto me. And the second one on your list will be Isaiah 59, which assures you that, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. Neither is his ear heavy that he cannot hear. And a lot of people don't pray till desperation time, and they wonder, is there a God that can hear me? And if he can, will he do anything? And is he really capable of taking care of my particular need? And why would he listen to me in the first place? And the devil gets on the other shoulder and said, well, this first time you prayed in 20 years, why do you even think he's going to pick up the phone? There's never been a prayer uttered that he didn't hear. And there's never been one uttered he didn't answer. You see, sometimes the answer is no. Sometimes the answer is wait till later. Sometimes the answer is I've got something better. Sometimes the answer is yes. When you understand the powerful one, who he is and what he is, and that he hears your prayer, don't worry if you're his child. He will do what's right. And what's right may not be what you want. I had a lady this morning as we were greeting people. Said, I'm here at church, and my father, I told you, was sick. We thank you for praying for him. He passed on this morning. He was 91. She's at church. So, well, where do you get that kind of power? There's nothing lost if you know where it is. That's where you get that kind of power. He was over at the house. Now he's over at the home. God bless him and her. We pray and say, can God hear me? Does he care? Why would he answer? And my wife was kind enough to get some old tapes of my father's and have them put on CDs. And I get in the corner in the back in the dark and listen to them. And I hear that beautiful voice that I've heard so many times once again, giving me that assurance. Once again, telling me the story of Jesus. Once again, preaching the word of God to me. And I sit and listen, and often with tears in my eyes. And I was listening just this week, day before yesterday, in the middle of the night. I reached over and turned it on, and he was preaching along, and he said, listen, sometimes you wonder whether you're a Christian or not, and sometimes you wonder if you're really saved or not, and sometimes you wonder if God cares about you and if you do have a relationship or not. He said, I'm going to give you the answer to find out how. I said, I need it. Here it is. He said, can you point to a specific prayer you made lately and then point to where it was definitely answered? I said, oh. I had some friends go to Bible study out here Monday with us. And little Linda, where's Linda? Linda's here. Linda pushed the chairs out and works for us so hard. And we had Linda come over to our place and do some painting. Kept me from doing it. Wasn't even a question as to whether Anna do it or not. Never came up. So Linda's used to working on these condos that are $200,000 and $300,000. I called her and she was packing for a lady just come out of a $300,000 condominium. And she's dealing with these kind of people, and she come over to our place. Well, after the shock, we pointed to the wall we needed painted. She couldn't wait to get out of there and went back and reported to the Bible group that we were living in abject poverty, we're white trash, and ought to be ashamed of ourselves. We thought we were doing all right. We ought to see the neighbors. So the Bible group gets together. And they said, we got to help Beaver Nan. We didn't know we needed help, but they did. And they said, we got to have them a decent place to live. So they put together trying to get the money up to rent a place or buy a place or do something, which I wasn't involved in it because I'm not used to things like that. And they got together what they could, and they prayed about it, and Jim was there from Florence. Good Christian man who leads a Bible study Sunday night that these good folks attend. And they informed him of what they were doing, and he said, well, we'll pray for that. I teach a Bible class Monday morning in my home for businessmen in Florence. And I'll pass this on. Now, this is less than 12 hours. Jim goes and speaks to his friends and holds the Bible class and mentions what's going on. And there's a man sitting there named Billy Powers says, what is it that you need? And they said, well, we're trying to get the preacher a little bit better place to live and his wife, and we're trying to get some money up, and we're going to pray for these folks. He said, what do you need? A house, apartment? What is it you're looking for? He said, well, anything. He said, I'm building 600 apartments at Myrtle Beach. Take the preacher over there. Pick him one out. And tell him he can live there till he dies. Ooh-wee. Mm-mm. You see what I'm telling you? That ain't me praying for something. I was thankful for where I was. Wasn't Ann. She just said, let's wallpaper the bathroom. Maybe it'll keep the water out. But she was happy to be where she was. It's somebody else that cared. You see how God works. You see how he works. Prayer's a privilege to all Christians. Please understand, when Christ died on the cross, he said, look, if you'll go down to the temple, they'll give you a report that the veil has been rent of the Holy of the Holies, a place where only the high priest could go once a year and shed blood, sprinkle it. And the Father would look down and he would cover the sins of the people for 1 year. He said, if you'll go look today while I hang here, you'll find it ripped top to bottom. Because now, anybody who calls on my name can reach me instantly. Don't have to be at church, and you don't have to have your clothes on, and you can do it from the shower. Wherever you are and whatever the need, call on me and I will hear. I said, what a God. What a God. If you don't know him and don't know you can pray to him and don't know he answers prayer, I would suggest you pray. Last Sunday we were telling folks here, if you were here, some of you were, some of you weren't, about the old black man on the farm who went to the little colored church and said, Uncle John was his name, and he'd hoot and holler and run and jump and carry on, and the deacons came out to the farm and met him. It's an involved story. We'll just tell you the highlights, and they visited him on his farm. He had his mule with him, and they said, Brother John, you can't come to the church anymore. We're getting beyond that. We're getting a little formal down there. We don't need that. And he told them about what God had done for him through his house and his cornfield and his hogs, what he'd done for his children and his family. And the old boy said, look, if I can't come down to the church anymore and praise the Lord, it's been good to me. Hold my mute. I'm going to praise him now. Off he took. And these people got me together and told me that, and they said that's the first time they saw me without words in their life. I didn't know what to say. Told my wife, she's still calling people out the Yellow Pages. Doesn't even know them. Guess you heard, and, you know, stopping cars on the highway. Where are y'all from? Did you hear about the place? And I said, what can I do? What do you do? Call the man and say you shouldn't have? What do you do? How do you say thank you? I don't know. I don't know the man. I don't know if he's sitting here or not. But I know a lot about him. I know he's a very successful businessman and a very good Christian man who loves the Lord. And all he wanted to do was see the gospel of Jesus Christ spread. And if this is the way he could help do it, nothing else mattered. What a guy. I said, well, I got to send him something. So I looked all over and said, I'm going to send him this. And hold my mute. Hold my mute. Every time he sees it, I want him to know that I'm down here saying, hold my mule. Let me tell you about the place. Hold my mule. Let me tell you about the Savior. Hold my mule. Let me tell you how good he is to me. Hold my mule. Come down and visit where 3 once sat. Now 300 sit to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hold my mule while I bring you up here and let people tell you how they've prayed and cancer went away. Families are back together. Things have changed. The peace is come. Thought they knew the Lord Jesus. Sat in church 20 years. One lady sitting right there told me one morning, said, I thought I was a Christian for 20 years. Till I came down there and found out how to do it. Hold my mule. Every day. Hold my mule. Jeremiah 32:26 will tell you, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is anything too hard for me? That's a rhetorical question which answers itself in the question. Is anything too hard for God? You see, sometimes we got God as a granddaddy out there who can do just a little bit more than anybody we knew. Superman. But we don't have him as the Almighty. And if there's anything in your life or anything you need fixing, and you don't think God can do it and can handle it, and maybe this is too hard for him, please understand it's one of two problems. Your God is either too small or your faith is. One of the two. He can handle it all. And will. If you'll just give it all to him, and you will get your dumb self out of the way and let him take care of it. Any problem, any marriage, any business, any sickness, any war, any devil, he can take care of it. For there's nothing too hard for him. This is he who fed 3 or 4 million people in the middle of a desert by dropping manna on the ground every night. They finally got tired of that, as people will do. Their thankfulness goes away. And they said, I'm tired of manna. Give us some flesh. Give us. And he said, okay, how about some quail? I love God's sense of humor. They said, yes, quail, please. He sent quail, and it was good the first day. It was right good the end of the first week. It got tasting bland about 30 days. And in 2 months, the Bible said it was coming out of their nose. And they were saying, please take this away. He said, please leave me alone. Let me take care of you my way. Nothing's too hard for him. It's he who took the Hebrew children through the Red Sea. Front of the line, it was dry, but just dry. Back of the line, they were cursing and saying, hey, slow down up there. Choking on the dust through the middle of the sea. Looking at the fish on either side. Egypt thought they'd chase them, and the entire Egyptian army was drowned immediately. What a God. Anything too hard for me? Volcanoes that erupt, the seas that roar, the lightning that flashes, the battles he wins, the history that he guides. Is anything too hard for me? And we look at him and say, yeah, but Lord, this is the light bill we're talking about. Your God's too small. We talking about a God that got Charlie Daniel a pretty wife. I mean, is anything too hard for God? Psalm 46:1 says, God is our refuge, a very present help in time of trouble. When my father went to be with the Lord, he was playing his violin, had a phonograph record going, he'd play along with them. He was a concert violinist. And he was playing some hymns, and I never will forget my brother. He said, it's amazing, isn't it? Said he was playing a hymn, and then he was with him. I said, all right, go ahead. And I looked around his place and I found tacked to the wall a little card that said that. God is our refuge, a very present help in time of trouble. I carried it in my pocket till it wore out. In the book of Numbers, you will find that the instructions were given by God to the folks who had to obey the law. We're not under the law, we're under grace. But he said, look, things are going to happen. You're going to accidentally kill a man. And our law says if you kill a man accidentally or not, his brother, the avenger, can come and take your life for that. You better have a place to hide. It, like everything else in the Old Testament, is simply a picture of the Lord Jesus, and is saying, look, you in trouble. The avenger, that's Satan. He's after you. He'll kill you. Sooner or later, he will kill you. That's why he came. You better have a refuge to go to. So God set up 6 cities along the Jordan and said, anybody who can make it inside that city when they're running from the avenger, you can't touch them. They can stay there in safety. People of the city can't put them out to be killed, and the avenger can't go in to be killed. Picture of you in Christ. And he can stay in that city until the high priest dies. Then he's got to leave. Everybody tried to get to the city with the youngest high priest. But eventually he'd die. Then they could leave. But now they could be killed. And sometimes brother was waiting. But you see, it's a picture of Christ Jesus in the new teaching. He said, I'm your refuge. You come and be in me. I'll make you part of me. I'll be in you. You be in me. I am your ark above the waters. I am your refuge, a very present help in time of trouble. And once you're in me, the avenger can never come in. You say, well, what about the part where when the high priest dies? Keep reading. You get to Hebrew and say the Lord Jesus is a priest after the order of Melchizedek, who had no beginning and had no end. He's a priest who lives forever. Once you choose to be in him and hide in him, it's a place of safety, a place of security, a place where no one can reach you and no one can pull you out, and a place where you never have to leave. What a God. Last on your little plaque, it says Matthew 28:20. The Lord Jesus has made a promise. He sent the disciples out to evangelize the world. And all of it isn't written down here, you know, just the part he wants us to know. But I'm sure there had to be some good motivational speeches along the way where he said, I'm leaving. Y'all gonna have this by yourself. Now there's 11 of you. Judas fell out, but we appointed Matthias, but he never did anything. But you handful are going to go, and in my name you are going to turn the world upside down. Do your best to forget about the Jews that want to kill you. Do your best to forget about Rome, the greatest fighting power on earth, who now control the known world. Forget about them. I am going to be with you, and we are going to win. That's where the saying, sure, right, came from. Wasn't spoken out loud, but I can hear all 11 of them saying, sure, right, yeah, we're going to do that. But you see, they had enough faith in the Lord Jesus to say, we loved you when you first came. We learned from you as we walked with you for 3 years. We were disappointed when they arrested you and killed you. But we're delighted because you rose from the dead, and I believe we can turn the world upside down. And there the handful started. and for 2,000 years have done just that, have turned the world upside down in the name of Christ Jesus. Loneliness is a big problem today. I don't much like to be alone, tell you the truth. And Ann had to go out of town for Daddy's operation, and he's well. Thank you for the prayers. She'd gone for a day, and you'd thought I was a puppy dog, been left at the pound for a week. I just want her around. Just want to look over and see her every now and then. Just want to hear what I last dropped on the floor. It's all right, whatever. I just need her around me. When she's not around me, I'm very empty. But Jesus said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. And in the Greek text, in the Greek, that's a linear never. It's a linear tense, and the linear tense carries five times the power of the English. And what he was saying, he said, fellas, we're going to do it, but you won't see me physically, but I will never, 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 never leave you or forsake you. Now get at it. I said, what a God. What a Savior. Here he is with the power, all the power. Here's a God who will hear me in the middle of the night, maybe in joy and maybe in tears, maybe in thankfulness and maybe in need, whatever it is. He said, I'll hear you out. Here's a God who I know, whatever the problem may be, that I don't have to add into the prayer. And if you can't handle this, please try somebody who might can. No. Buck stops here. Nothing too hard for God. And here is one who said, I'll be your refuge, your place of safety. Whoever you are, wherever you are, don't worry. But what about my sins? I'll forgive them. They're paid for. But I keep trying. It's not up to you. It's up to me. Just hide in me. Be part of me. Let me be part of you. And you're safe and secure. And that's the end of it. I said, what a God. Sometime when you got 3 or 4 weeks, take your magic marker and go through the epistles of Paul and just mark every time he said, in Christ, in Christ, in Christ, in Christ. For he knew that was the answer for all the problems of all time, for all mankind. The answer is, be in Christ. He's the God who said, I've got to go home now. I'm going to build you a house to live in with me forever. Got some more carpentry work to do. But I'll send the Spirit of God to live within you. I'll never leave you. You'll never know a day if you come unto me that I am not with you. From that day through eternity. What a deal. The Lord God Almighty said he would come and live within me, not stand beside me, in front, in back, or guide me, but would lead in me and never leave me. Because now I'm his. If you don't know that God today, we'll introduce you. You don't need to be a theological giant to go to MIT to understand you a sinner, because I've seen most of you, and you have seen me. Wouldn't take a bright jury long to bring a case against anybody in this room. on the power of God to create. I was thinking last night, I said, yes, He created man from the dirt of the ground. And from what I saw this week, a lot of them haven't progressed very far. With no idea who they were insulting. With no idea that they have no one to clean them up unless they'll come to Christ. That's why we do this. That's why we invite people. That's why people like Billy Powers help preachers spread the gospel that they don't even know. That's why Will comes down and plays the trumpet. While these young ladies and men set up the chairs and take them down. It's why they clothe and feed me and try to make my life a little better. Because they know the answer. Everything pales before the importance of teaching people they're lost and need a Savior. And providing them with the answer. And I got good friends here and have cried at night. So please send them Jesus. Please bring them, and it isn't me, it's you, but please bring them and let them hear the gospel. And Lord God, if they died today, you know where they'd go, and I do too. And I don't want that. And I know you don't, because you died to keep it from happening. But Lord Jesus, stop by and tug on those hearts this morning. And as we pray, if you find yourself needing to pray, do that. And find yourself needing a Savior, He's open for the calling. It just requires that you say, I'm sorry for my sins. I committed them. Full knowledge of what I was doing. I'd like to accept the forgiveness you've given. I can't make payment because you already have, and I just humbly accept what you've done for me. And Lord God, I just ask you to change my life. Turn me around. And whatever days I have left, let me walk in your light. And I promise you, He will give you a new light, a new life, and make you a new creature in Christ. And if that's not enough for you, I'm sorry, that's all we have to offer. But if you knew what I knew, you'd take that if that's all you'd ever been offered. For it will do you for eternity. So as we play our song, that we give you about 3 minutes to contemplate things. We don't ask you to raise your hand or come to the front. For those who do it that way, God bless them. That's good. We just say where you sit. If you need a Savior, tell Him, my business is done. If you need help from Him, tell Him. He'll see to it. If you're lonely, you can have a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, and His name is Jesus. He's there for the asking. But I can't ask for you. You have to ask Him yourself. So we'll pray. Then we'll play our song. And you help us with the chairs. Fold them up and put them to the side, and our people will stack them. And we'll thank you for coming. Stick around. Shake hands. If you want one of these little brochures to put in a frame or whatever, you do that. And remember this day. For this is the day you receive the answer. Shall we pray? Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and your love. For the foreknowledge and foresight that you'd see us to be born with a bent towards sin, and sure enough, when old enough, we jump right in. But you provided an answer. and paid the price for my sin and every man's on the cross of Calvary when you shed your blood and gave up your life and was buried. I rose the third day, and anybody who will accept that on face value by faith will be saved. They'll find a home with you. They'll live forever with you. For that is your promise. And you've never broken one yet. Thank you for those who have gathered here today. Thank you for those who sang and played. Thank you for the tape ministry, that we can send these tapes out and somewhere to someone we don't even know may hear and hear the joyful noise and the good news that Jesus saves. To those who think, surely I'll have another chance, I would be real careful with that. You may not feel the tug of God talking to you as you do this morning. And you pass by and pass by. And one day they call me to hold your funeral. And I don't have anything to say. Don't let that happen. Step out of the crowd from where you sit in your mind and cross the line and ask the Savior to save you. It'll be the greatest step you ever learned. And it's free. Lord Jesus, walk among us now. Linger at those who need you most. And please, Lord, save the man that's nearest hell. In Christ Jesus' name I pray, and for his sake, amen.